and or the Russian or the Iranian or the Chinese.
It's absolutely a systematic, clear presence in Western media where not only do they not want to show the positive contribution of Russia and Iran either internally to their countries or in the global situation, but much more than that, there's a clear campaign of demonization and criminalization against countries like Iran and Russia and Venezuela, Zimbabwe, South Africa, India, Algeria, and we can go Nigeria now, and we can go on and on and on. Now, the reason for this demonization and criminalization is to say President Assad and the Ba'athist government in Syria is so corrupt, is so oppressive, is so useless at governing itself and having any type of functionality that when we come for it, when we unleash our death squads and mercenaries against it or direct military intervention, well, in the minds of the masses, they will think, well, they deserved it, frankly. Well, they couldn't even govern themselves. And look how oppressive they were. Look how brutal they were. Look how dictatorial they were. All these kind of key words of today's neocolonialism.
The West has consistently backed the militants despite their failure to achieve pretty much any of their objectives in the 3-year civil war. We asked the public if they felt there were any lessons to be learned from that. Here's what they said.
The West has persistently been backing the militants in this civil war, even though the militants have quite clearly failed in their objectives to date. What lessons are there for us to learn from that?
I think that we have got to work much more closely with the leadership of the country.
They just got to talk to each other, I think. Sit down and talk and listen to each other. It's, you know, you can fight and fight and fight. It'll just continue and just blow, get bigger and bigger and bigger. You've got to sit down somewhere and talk, but nobody seems to listen.
Well, we haven't got the greatest history at choosing the right side or doing the right thing, I suppose. But I mean, that's what history is. You learn from your mistakes or you don't learn from your mistakes and you just do them again, but I think that's human nature.
Well, I'm sure international intelligence must have picked up that this was going to happen and therefore that intelligence should have been fed back to senior figures, senior leaders within the Western community to prepare them for what this is, a bloodbath.
There are lots of lessons being learned in the past, like Afghanistan and all that, Al-Qaeda and all that, Taliban and everything, everywhere. There's unfortunate bit of problems, you know. But the lesson should be learned, and this book is sort of been interrupting the problem on a one-sided. You must look at the more objective and resolve the roots of the matter and then do something for it.
So the question of what lessons can be learned leads to different answers from different people. We asked our experts if there are more solid facts which come out of the West's consistent support for the militants.
They have failed in Afghanistan in backing extreme elements, and it backfired. They are now failing in Syria. They have backed elements with no clear foundation and platforms, and this element have reverted to extremisms, which could backfire on this country and other Western country. They should be frank, and they should look at it from the perspective of keeping their people and us in the Western world safe, not to play geopolitics in Syria and the region, destroy the other countries, and then bear the repercussions. They should keep clear of Syria. They should keep clear of the Middle East, and only if their involvement has to be there, it has to be constructively and positively on the mediation sides and not taking sides.
The lessons that the West will learn in the failure of their death squads in Syria is that they'll do more of the same elsewhere. That's the lesson they've learned. They haven't learned any negative lessons from this, because for the West there is nothing negative that's happened in Syria, actually. The only negative thing actually that's happened for the West in Syria is when that death squad maniac ate the liver of the fallen member of the Syrian Arab army, and this went all over the media, which just embarrassed the West, because for well over a decade the West have been telling us that their enemy number one is Al-Qaeda and these type of death squad forces. And then with Libya in 2011 and with Syria, suddenly the same forces which the West said that was their enemy, they actually were deeply embedded or in bed with them in regime change operations. So hitherto, these guys were terrorists. Post-2011, they became freedom fighters, splashed all over the mainstream newspapers and television media as heroic freedom fighters going to save the people in Libya and Syria. So the West has learned something very clearly, that if it wants to actually effectively, for its own interest, negatively impact and to change the situation in any given country, then these death squads is one of the main direct means by achieving their aims.
So an entire country has been reduced to desperation and desolation. Who's to blame? And should the West shoulder some of that responsibility? We ask the public.
The country of Syria is pretty much devastated now. Who, if anyone, is to blame for that? And do you think the West needs to shoulder any of the responsibility?
I think the blame has to lie with primarily with the Syrian government. But I think, sadly, the West gave an awful lot of encouragement in the early days to the rebels. And I think that when it comes to the restoration of Syria, then we have got to make a major financial commitment, all of those Western countries, to help to rebuild it and put it back onto the path of peace.
It's got to be the government, isn't it, I think.
Which government, theirs or ours?
Probably a bit of both.
Why is that?
I don't know. Britain always tends to stick their nose in here, there and everywhere, don't they? You know, we've got enough problems of our own.
So who do you think, if anyone, is to blame for the situation and the devastation in Syria?
I don't think there is anyone to blame, because all we need to do now as a world, as all together, we should just try and help the Syria rather than just blame anyone else, because blaming won't solve any problems.
I think the West does. As I said, I don't fully understand all the local dynamics and conflicts, but, you know, the West, you know, not being maybe as, you know, in tune and proactive as much as we can be. So, yeah, I think everyone's got to look at it and try and understand it better and what needs to change, because it is truly devastating. And that's why I answered the questions, because of the small bits that I see, you know, they are truly, you know, shocking, and you can't believe it's really happening in modern day.
I think the West does have a lot to do with what's happening all over the world, definitely, absolutely, because we do like to get involved where we're not necessarily needed. Like with the militants, we weren't really needed. With Egypt, exactly the same. We didn't really need to stick our nose in. I mean, obviously it helps because we've got the money to help, but the West does have a lot to answer for, and I think that not enough attention is given to the fact that that we need to answer for a lot of what we've done, what the West has done, and we don't really hold many people to account.
So who is to blame for this crisis and devastation which has torn an entire country apart? We asked the experts.
It's the people who inflamed this conflict, who've used the rightful demand of the Syrian people in order to launch an all-out war on this country. But I'd say, I would be more precise, it started by being the media responsible for it. And Al Jazeera played a major role right at the beginning in inflaming this conflict. Making the news rather than reporting the news. Then it moved on to become a political conflict where the Arab world and the external Western world did not play a positive role in Syria, and they were taking sides and they were playing a political, geopolitical war on that country. And then it moved on to become a logistical war on the country, with countries like Qatar funding a lot of the rebel elements, Saudi funders backing the extremists, and then we've got people coming from Libya through Turkey, so Turkey has played a role. And then we move on to the Western countries, the funding that comes from Western countries, things that goes from the UK, goes from the United States, and from the some of the Eastern countries that supports the agenda of the UK and America.
I think when it's a question of who bears responsibility to the trauma and the war that's taken place in Syria in the last 3 years, I'd actually like to pin that on those who wanted to see the overthrow of the Ba'athist government in Syria. Because I think if you're an opposition force and you're disgruntled with the status quo and you want that changed for the better for your people, then really you have to do some very honest self-reflection and ask oneself, was all of this worth it? Was all of this worth it to have created the situation now in order to, for ourselves to apparently have wanted a better situation? And if this situation is something that was undesirable, which is a gross understatement, then that those opposition forces need to go back to the drawing board and work out a strategy whereby there is not so much death and injury and destruction. Because while all parties in the war bear responsibility, at the end of the day, it was some of the opposition forces that decided to team up with some of the most depraved elements in the region and some of the most reactionary governments working against the interests of the people of the region, that's the Gulf, Turkey and the NATO forces. Well, was it worth teaming up with them? Was it worth destroying what was once a beautiful and stable and decent country in the resistance axis in the region? And if those forces are unwilling to take that self-critical a process of self-reflection, then others have to ask, then whose interests are they actually working in? Are they working in the interests of the Syrian people and the neighboring countries, particularly Lebanon and Iraq, or are they working for the interests of NATO?
The West has failed Syria by backing militants it does not understand and who do not even share a common agenda. This has added greatly to the bloodshed and helped to reduce an entire country to a dark age of violence and desperation. Compare that to the contribution of Russia and Iran, who successfully brokered a peace deal for an entire city. Yet no one we spoke to in London had even heard about it. That is a Western crime of reporting, matched only by the West's crime of supporting militants who have helped to reduce Syria to its knees.